That's all right. For those of you who don't know me, if you're watching online, my name is Austin Moore. If you recognize the name, I am the husband of Stephanie Moore, which means I am also the pastor's son-in-law. So, it's a great honor to be up here. I don't take this lightly. This is my first time behind the pulpit, so this is going to be fun. Okay, we don't know what's going to happen, but we know it's going to be good because it's going to glorify God. All right, now let's get this done before I get sidetracked and get lost. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, right now, Lord, we come to you, Lord, in a spirit of expectation. Right now, Lord, let this word come through me from you. Lord, let it land upon ears that want to hear, hearts, Lord, that want to understand, Lord, and minds that want to instill it in ourselves. Right now, Lord, just work something amazing for us, Lord, not for this church, Lord, but for this community, Lord, and for your kingdom. Everything that we do here tonight, let it glorify you. In your son's holy name we pray. Amen. All right, go ahead and be seated. Now, as I said, this is going to be my first sermon that I have put together and for public consumption. So, I thought, what else could I preach on? What else could I deliver a message on than order? Because I have to work in order for this to work. If I'm just coming up here shooting from the hip, this is not going to land right. So, Scripture tells us that God specializes in bringing order out of chaos. In the Old Testament, the central theme of creation in Genesis was the forming of order out of chaos. This is creating light from darkness, the naming of the plants and animals, creation of humans, and the forming of the firmament from the seas. Now, when this is the gift of speaking in tongues is discussed in Corinthians, this is what stood out to me first when I was trying to get this message together, because the Church of Corinthians was an amazing church. They were doing some awesome things, but Paul had some ideas for them to just like, tighten this up, guys. All right, you're doing great things, but let's put this in order. So in 1 Corinthians 14, I'm going to start off on verse 2. 1 Corinthians 14:2. For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man speaketh unto him, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and to exhortation and comfort. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself, but he that prophesieth edifieth the church. So in that part right there, he's telling the difference between speaking in tongues, which is from him to God, and the spirit of prophecy. That's for the church. That's for general consumption. What they were doing is they were coming in there speaking in tongues, just blasting it. So, I would that ye all spake with tongues, but rather that ye prophesied. For greater is he that prophesieth that he speaketh with tongues, except he interpret, that the church may receive edifying. So he put that little caveat, that little footnote on that. Yes, I want you all to pray in tongues. I want you all to do this, but I want you to do it in order. If you're going to do it, give an interpretation. That way everyone gets something from it, not just you. Don't do this for yourself. Do this for the church. Build up the church. Now, when God acts for his people, he does not act in confusion and in disorder, but in peace and order. Raise your hand if you've ever woken up in the middle of the night and had to use the restroom. All right? You want to make it quick. You want to make this as uncomplicated as possible. So what do? You get up and you try to make your way there. 9 times out of 10, this does not work as you had planned. You stub your toe. You facing the door facing. This isn't going to... In the story of Genesis, what's the first thing that God does? In creation, what's the first thing he speaks into existence? Light. It's a good idea to shed some light on the situation. Okay? This isn't just for that situation, in everything. In darkness, there is confusion. In darkness, it's very easy to get lost, get sidetracked. Your senses are dulled. So, since Jesus is the light of the world, he acts in order. This is how it's supposed to be. All right, still in 1 Corinthians, let's jump to 1 Corinthians 14:12. This is where I camped out, really. This is where I got most of my stuff was in Corinthians, because as I was studying, it just spoke to me and I was like, all right, I'm digging this. Ever so ye, for as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel to edify of the church, to the edifying of the church. Therefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he might be interpreted. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but for my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else where thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occurreth the room of the unlearned say amen? And thou giveth in thanks, seeing and understanding what not thou sayest. Okay. For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God that I speak with tongues more than you all. But in the church, I had rather speak five words in my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. So that's just saying, I would rather say five words that you understand and you get something from than 1,000 words in the tongue that you have no idea what I'm saying. This all has to be in order. All right. Now let's jump to Genesis 1, verse 1. This is creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and that God divided the light from the darkness. The very first step that he did was he separated, he organized. He separated the light from the darkness, the day from the night. Now, this is Eastern Kentucky, so to keep pushing this theme, who's been outside, you're in the hills, you lose track of time, and all of a sudden you realize the sun's gone down? All right? So that half-mile walk back to the house or back to the church or back to the truck, it seems a lot longer than half a mile or a quarter mile. That's because in the darkness, you lose track of things. All right? You're paying attention to what you hear more. So you're sidetracked. You're not operating in order. You're not operating in peace. But your heart rate might get up. All right, you might get a little scared because it's dark now. And everything looks different in the dark than it does in the day. So as you go through this, how do I say? This is what spoke out to me. I've been in a situation like that. And I was totally lost. Now this is me as a child. I was totally lost. I could almost, if I kept on walking, I could probably make it. But at that moment, I was so terrified, I broke down. Okay? And all I could do was think, at this time, elementary school, I was out, it got dark. So that's the mindset I was in. All I could do was run. Okay? I didn't know really the direction I was going, but I knew I had to move, so I went down. All right, I got off the hill, and I had to find my bearings somehow. So, in the city I lived in, well, not the city, the little town I lived in, there was a little tower, and it had a beacon on top of it. So, the only thing I can think is, I need to see that beacon. Okay? I need to see something to find out where I am at. And I kept running, and finally, right, and it was, if you can imagine, just pure relief over yourself. I didn't know where I was at, but I knew where that beacon was. So, when I turned this little ridge, I could see the beacon. All right, and then just peace come over me. I'm like, okay, I know kind of where I'm at. And as I was getting this ready, that kept popping in my mind. I need to anchor myself. I need to find an anchor. And in everything I need to do, and everything I need to do is not only just a husband as a father, as a Christian, as a man, I need to have an anchor. And that anchor needs to be solid, and it needs to be in order, and it needs to be in peace. All right? If you have general direction, you're going to have order, and you're not going to be operating in chaos. So that's just something that spoke to me, because if I'm not operating in order, that gives the enemy a foothold. Because in chaos, I can get sidetracked, I can lose my place, and I cannot be doing what I'm supposed to. Now, how does this apply to me? I can't force things around me or people around me to be in order or peaceful. No. But you can force yourself to be peaceful and in order. When you get in the Word of God, there is peace. And that comes with just being able to stop, pray, and know that. Oh, that comes with it, being able to stop and just pray. Have you heard the saying, be still and know that I am God? Yes. Everyone knows that scripture. Be still and know that I am God. This is the type of peace or centering or calmness that I'm talking about. It is one of the best tools to have as a Christian and to use the power of God in your life. If God works in peace and in order, what or who works in chaos and confusion? That's the enemy. If you're ever in a stressful situation, you have to make a quick decision. Before you can weigh out the decisions, this is when you're going to be under attack. And this is where you're going to have to say, all right, I need to be still, take a breath, and rely on God. I can't act hastily because people are watching. Every little thing you do, if you confess to be a Christian, every little thing that you do is being watched. So even that snap decision that you're going to make, it's going to come with a little bit of weight to it because people look to you for advice. They look to you for what they should do in their life if they're lost. And sometimes even other Christians. How do I get, and more importantly, how do I keep what the love of God in me? 2 Thessalonians 3:16 says, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all men, and the Lord shall be with you. And he gives that to all men. That's not just to one person, it's to all of us. Psalms 29:11 says, the Lord will give us strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Isaiah 57:19 says, I create the fruit of the lips, peace. Peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. So it don't matter if you're far away. It don't matter if you're right here at the altar. Peace is your gift. Now, the opposite of peace is, of course, fear. And that can come in many different forms. Stress. From your home, from your job, from just life in general. All right? They say that stress in moderation is a good thing. It can heighten your senses. It can make you do amazing things. You get that burst of adrenaline. But stress in the long time can wreak havoc on your system. High blood pressure, hair loss, weight gain. Comparing yourself to other people is poisonous. Don't worry about what other people have. Worry about what you have and what you're getting. And count your blessings. Okay? That's one thing I have learned. As I get a little bit older, April, I'll be 40. So, still learning, greatly still learning. As I go to the doctor now, they ask me different questions. Who's had wellness questions? I think this is the second year I've had wellness questions. It was weird. How's your home life going? It's going good. Have you ever had to worry about where your next meal is coming from? No. Have you ever had to worry about where you're sleeping at night? No. Do you ask these questions to everybody that walks in here? Yeah, we have to ask everyone their wellness questions. We have to gauge how you're doing mentally too. I'm like, really? So if doctors have to ask you that, it kind of just put a little in the back of my mind. Some people are answering yes to this. And I was trying to put myself in their position. If I had to worry about where my next meal came from, if I had to worry about where I'm sleeping at night, how much would that take a toll on not only my physical health, but my mental health? And how much more would I have to rely on God, on Jesus, for peace? Because if you're worried about where you're sleeping at night or where you're going to get your next meal from, you're not going to be thinking, I need to pray. I need to get in the Word. You're going to be thinking what I can do right now. But what you might miss is God might be telling you what to do. And if you don't have that relationship with Him, if you're not going in order and in peace, if your steps aren't ordered in peace, you're going to be going every which way. You're going to be operating in chaos and you're going to miss it. So that is one very large part of this message is take a breath. If you're going through something in the heat of the moment, if you're getting a bad report from the doctor, He is the healer. Don't go with WebMD. Don't go with Google. Don't Google your symptoms. Pray about it. Okay? Listen, that is if you get down in doubt and unbelief and fear, that is going to wreck you spiritually and physically, because what you say out your mouth has a great importance on what happens in your body and in real life, in the world. So don't let that wreak havoc on your life. Pray about it. Get in the Word and realize I have to do this in order. There is a way that I need to go about this. Okay? James 3:18 says, and the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace for them that make peace. Number 6:26, the Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Who here thinks Exodus was a kind of tumultuous time? You know, Exodus? You know, they weren't, you know, able to sit and relax a lot, were they? But in Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Now, if you're in the book, if you're on the run, you're not going to think, well, I just need to be still and know. You know, this is going to be okay. I just have to rely on the Lord. That's what they're supposed to do, and that's what they ultimately did. But in the heat of the moment, that was the last thing on their mind. All right. Psalms 46:8. Come, behold the works of the Lord, that desolations He hath made for the earth. He maketh wars to cease and the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spirit asunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted amongst the heathens. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. So He's going to end wars for you. All the fiery arrows from the enemy, He's going to break the bow. The spear, He's going to break it. He's going to cut it. And everything He's going to, if you act in order and in peace, it's His battle. It's not your battle to fight. You just have to be still and know that I'm God. That's all He asks. If God is telling us that He wants peace, we have to stop fighting each other. Now, this sounds simple, but we are people and we can't handle simple. We want to face great obstacles. We want to have stories about triumph over our enemies and over demons. We want to show how God's working through us when sometimes we just have to let God work. Now that is God's plan. Be still. So, hush. Stop. And know that I am God. And that's just simply trusting Him. But now faith without works is dead. Work on not trying to tear other people down. Don't think about what your brother or sister has and don't try and worry about getting better than them. Be happy for them. Because if you're happy for them, you're going to be happy. Work on lifting up your spouse or lifting up your pastor. Work on being a light to a lost and dying world. Work on winning souls to the kingdom of God and getting everyone like you and not like you, to hear the Word. To know His love. That's the work we should be doing. Spreading love and peace. And doing it in order and as God intended. Everything that is of God is in peace and is of order. Back to 1 Corinthians 14:26. How is it, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you has a psalm, has a doctrine, has a tongue, has a revelation, hath an interpretation, let it all be done into edifying? If you've been to a service and everyone wants to sing a song, everyone wants to lay hands on somebody, everyone's got an interpretation of that. One tongue, five interpretations, that's not order. If any man speaketh in tongues, let it be by two or at most three, and that by course let it be one to interpret. If there is no interpretation, let him keep silent in church. Down to verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the others judge. If anything be revealed to another that sitteth by, let the first hold his peace. And then down on 33, this is my closing one. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. In all churches, not just here, wherever you're at, because you are the church. Or, act in order, act in peace, and keep yourself together. All right? All right? Okay. Thank you very much, everyone. If you would, stand. Now, that was a short one. That was quicker than what I thought it would be.